Well, good morning once again. Hope everybody had a good week, except for that freezing rain. That was oh so much fun. Oh, yeah, I did not enjoy that one. Oh, well, today we're going to be finishing up our series called Instruments of Change. And if you've missed out on the last few weeks, I'll kind of give a bit of a recap. 2 weeks ago, when we first started this, we started talking about change that is both necessary and wanted. We use the passage of the bleeding woman who reached out to touch Jesus' robe to be healed. And we talked about her passion and her desire to be healed. And that's what really drives our desired change, the change that we want and the change that we need, is our passion for it, our desire within that. And we see how it's needed, but there's also a flip side to it, where sometimes that gives us a tunnel vision. And so that's all we can see. And that's all we focus on. And that instead of just focusing on that, and when we have a desired change, we need to seek Christ first and then change second, so that change happens through Christ and not through ourselves. And then last week, we talked about the really fun one, which is the unwanted but necessary changes that happen within our life. The areas where we're going, I don't want this to change, but there's a need or desire, or not desire, but there's a necessity or a reason for it to change. And so we looked at Ananias and his dilemma when he had to go pray over Saul. Saul was at the time a much feared man within the followers of Christ, that community. And so he had to go and pray over him. And we see how that, even though there are changes that happen that may affect us, we have to take ourselves out of it and remember that it's not always about us. It may affect us, but it's not always about us. And then it's about God. And he sees the big picture when we don't always. We don't always see that picture. We don't always see what he sees. And so we have to trust that these changes he's making in our life are for the better of us. And this week we're going to be finishing up the series talking about unwanted and unnecessary change. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark 4 today. It's also going to be up on the screen. And if you're like me and you don't like change, all unwanted change is unnecessary change, because you're going, I don't want that, and so therefore it's unnecessary. So I'm not going to do it. Sometimes the change, it seems unnecessary at first, like we talked about last week, until we see the reason behind it. But then there's change that happens that there's no reason behind it. There's no necessity, but there's also no reason why it happens. It simply just happens, and that can be difficult to deal with. For me, this happened on May 28th in 2004. It was just before my 12th birthday, and I'm sure most of you heard me talk about this before. But that day, I was getting ready to go hang out with some friends, and my mom got a call that my grandpa had passed away from cancer. It was an unwanted and unnecessary change for my family. It served no purpose. It just happened. And my grandfather, he was a very strong, very active man, and was always out doing something and always was going after something. And this cancer, it left him weak to the point where he could no longer do the things that he wanted to do. And in a matter of a few months, he went from literally running and moving rocks to barely be able to get out of bed. And so it took this huge toll. And for my family, it was very unwanted and very, very unnecessary, because we couldn't see any good that would come out of it. In Mark 34, we're going to read of the disciples. They were faced with a change in their daily routine, where they were going about and doing something very, very normal, and then a change occurred that was both unwanted and unnecessary. And so, starting in verse 35, we read, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let's go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So in this passage, it's, when they say him, it's Jesus that they're talking about. Right before all this occurred, Jesus was talking to large groups of people, and he wanted to cross what was known as the Sea of Galilee, which in reality is a really, really, really big lake. And so they go and they go to cross, and some people are trying to follow him, and Jesus decides to take a little snooze. Understandable. He's tired. But then all of a sudden, a storm hits. Comes out of nowhere, and it's a huge, fierce storm that's essentially starting to sink the boat. And all through this, Jesus is sleeping. How he is sleeping while a boat is rocking back and forth, I don't understand. If you've ever been on even a little vessel as it's rocking back and forth, it's not comfy. But he's taking a nap, and the disciples at this time, this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, so the disciples are still just getting to know Jesus. And they've seen him perform a few miracles where he's healed people. But they're still getting to know who Jesus is. They don't still fully know him. But they have seen him perform these miracles. And so they start freaking out and they're going, "Shoot, let's wake Jesus. He can save us, right?" So they go and they wake him up. And to me, this is the funny part. He calms the sea, and then they get scared because they're like, "Oh, he actually saved us." I don't get what their logic was. "He can save us. Awesome. Oh, he saved us. Now we're terrified." Don't understand it. Anyways, the disciples, though, they were not expecting the storm. The Sea of Galilee, it's a few miles away from the ocean. And so when a storm would come, you would see it coming from a long way off. You would be able to tell, okay, today we should not go out there. It's going to be a bad day. Weather's coming in. Let's not go out. And most of these guys, being fishermen, they were well-versed in knowing how to operate a boat, knowing all of that stuff. So they get in this boat, and they're not expecting a storm. And then all of a sudden, this huge gust of wind come along. And if you don't know anything about sailing, you probably do know the one thing. You don't want to sail through a storm. One, it's not fun. But two, it makes everything harder. Trying to steer, trying to get through everything. The waves come crashing. You know you don't want to be in it. So basically, this storm, it is unwanted, but it's also unnecessary because there is no need for it to happen. The one, there's no showing that it would happen, so it's unnecessary for them. And I think we can all relate to a situation where everything seems to be going well in life. Everything's normal. It's awesome. You know, things aren't too crazy. And then all of a sudden, a curveball happens. And our routine is now changed. Something that was normal is now upside down. Something changes that we didn't want to change. Maybe it's at work, it's at home, it's in a relationship, whatever the case, but it was where it was supposed to be, it was doing what it was supposed to do, and now it's not. A storm has hit. There's a change that was unexpected, but it's also unnecessary. So you got to ask, what do you do? Do I keep pushing? Do I push forward and keep going, put my head down and just keep going? Do I freak out like the disciples did and go nuts? Or if you're like me, sometimes you just stop and you freeze. You go, "I don't want to do anything because if I do, it might make it worse. So I'm just going to stop and do nothing." The unwanted and unnecessary changes in our life, they're hard for a couple reasons. The first one is that they often catch us off guard. The same way that the disciples were caught off guard in this storm, we weren't expecting it. And so it knocks us even harder. If we can see it coming, we can brace for it. We can be ready for it. But when it comes suddenly, we're not ready, and it knocks us off of our side. And the second thing is, there's no reason behind it. We don't see a reason behind it. Last week, we talked about how we look for the purpose in change. We look for that purpose because that purpose, it gives us something to stand on, something to hold on to. Even though we may not like it, it's going, at least I've got this to hold on to. It wasn't for nothing. But sometimes, and we come across things that don't have a purpose. And I know that's not what you want to hear, especially from a pastor, that there are things that don't always have a purpose. There's not always a reason behind it. And if you're going through something, that's especially something you don't want to hear. Now, what I'm not saying, though, is even though it doesn't have a purpose behind it, even though that change didn't have a reason, doesn't mean God can't work in it. Doesn't mean that God can't use it. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we experience change that happens for no reason. And when that happens, it's very easy to take the stance of the disciples. When they were in the midst of the storm, when it came upon suddenly, they began calling out to Jesus, "Don't you care? Why? Why is this happening? Don't you care?" And that pain that happens within that change, that fear that happens, there's a slight moment where it turns to grief. And you know, and that's okay. And it's important for us to know this. It's okay to grieve change. It's okay to grieve change. Especially a change that doesn't make sense, a change that doesn't seem to have a reason behind it. Change can be similar to a loss. Sometimes that is the change, but the same way that we grieve someone or something when we lose them is the same way that we can grieve change. And we need to know that that is okay, because grieving, it allows us to work through all the emotions that we experience. When we lose something, we're confused and we're hurt and we get upset and angry. And when things change on us suddenly, we experience those same emotions. Or we become confused because our daily routine, something that was normal, is now not normal. And so we get confused by it and even upset by it. And if we don't work through them, if we don't grieve them, then that pain and that fear, it turns into an anger and it turns into a resentment. When my grandpa passed away, this is what happened to me. The loss was sudden, and to me it was unexpected. To the rest of my family, they knew that this was most likely coming, but I was kind of left in the dark thinking that my grandpa was going to be fine. And so I didn't grieve it. I got caught off the side. And so instead of processing through it and grieving it and working through it, I sat in it. And I let that pain, and I let that fear, and I let it turn into an anger. I let it turn into a resentment, to where I actually walked away from God for a couple years, and I decided to blame him. I kept asking for the reason, why did this happen? And the answer I got is, there isn't one. There wasn't an answer behind it. And as a 12-year-old, I couldn't understand that. So I didn't deal with it. And the truth is, unwanted and unnecessary change, we have to grieve it. We have to work through it. And we have to work through it in our own way. The same way that we have normal grief, we have to work through it in our own way. Sometimes it takes a quick amount of time. Sometimes it takes a while. But we have to know that that is okay. It's okay to grieve it, and it's okay to grieve it in our own way. Otherwise, we won't get past it. We won't get past it. We will hold on to it. The same way that we look for a reason, we want to hold on to it as it helps us work through a change. When there's no reason, we want to hold on to that. We want to sit in it. And instead of working through it and being able to move ahead and to move on, we remain stuck. And we can't move on from it. And people begin to recognize that about us. And they begin to recognize it in us as they see us grow more and more frustrated. As they see us grow more and more angry, more and more bitter, instead of really working through it. But when we get to the heart of it, and we really want to work down through the emotions when it comes to change, it all comes down to fear. That pain and that anger, it all comes down to our fear. When the storm appears, the disciples, they go to Jesus, and the first thing they say is, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" You can read that sentence in two ways. The first way is it can come across in anger. "Teacher, don't you care that we are dying?" And there's anger. You read it the second way, where it's fear. "Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? Help us." It's both. When you read that sentence, it's both. They are both angry, but anger is a secondary emotion. It comes after something else. And that first one is fear. The anger and the resentment, it comes from our fear of the change. Because of that unknown reason, because we don't have that something to stand on, we see ourselves floundering. And change can be scary, especially when it is unwanted, when it is unnecessary. Because when things change on us unexpected, like when the disciples experienced the storm, things go from familiar to unfamiliar. It's scary, like I said, because there's no reason behind it. And it's that much more scary because we begin to question everything else. If this area of my life is changing and there's no reason behind it, what else is going to change if there's not going to be a reason behind it? What else might turn upside down? What else might go a different direction that I don't want it to go, and there's no reason behind it? It's scary. If this has changed in my life, what's going to keep other things from changing? And the fear, if it's left there and it's undealt with and it isn't grieved, it begins to control us. It begins to take control over everything else. And that's the thing. We cannot allow the fear of change control us. We can't allow the fear of things changing around us. We can't allow that to control us. Because if we do, if we let that fear take a hold, we become helpless. We become helpless. Life is full of changes, both wanted and unwanted, necessary and unnecessary, good and bad. That's part of life. Sometimes changes take a little bit more time to get through than others. But if we let that fear control us, that's the only thing that we see. That's the only way we see life. If we let it control us, we don't get to enjoy the good things that change brings. Because we're only focused on that fear. We're only focused on the bad that it can bring. It also means that we don't have the faith to let God lead us. It means we don't have the faith to let him lead us through those changes because we're only focused on fear. We're the ones that decide whether or whether or not we're going to let God lead us through it. We're the ones that decide if we want fear to have control over us. Because if we do let fear take its place, if we do let fear grab a hold, it's through fear that we are then going to experience life. It is through fear that we make our decisions. And if we're letting fear control us, if you're letting fear control you in the midst of change, you aren't letting God lead you. If fear is what is leading you through life, then God isn't. The disciples, they were thinking they were letting Jesus lead them. It was Jesus that said, "Hey, let us cross over the sea. Let us cross over to the other side." It was Jesus who they were following now throughout life. but they hadn't fully committed yet. When the storm came, when the unwanted and unnecessary change came about, they let fear take over. Where even Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith in me?" And then even after Jesus calmed the storm, they were still afraid, but this time their fear was now of him. They let that fear that controlled them in this situation now control how they saw Jesus. Because they hadn't fully invested in him yet. When we put our faith in Christ, our fear is replaced with peace. But we have to give Jesus our entire trust. We have to give it over, everything over to him. Otherwise, we will be just like the disciples, saying, "We're following you until things get rough." And then we're going to be scared and we're going to try and take control ourselves. But if we give everything over to Christ, we invest everything in him. If he can calm the waves and the wind just by saying, "Peace, be still," he can do the same thing in your life. When there's changes that occur that you don't want and you can't find a reason behind, instead of floundering and trying to look for that reason to be the thing that we stand on, let the peace of Christ be the thing that you stand on. Let him be the one that you grasp onto. You may not understand all of it, but the guy that created the universe, that knew you before you were even born, says, "I can hold on to you as you walk through this. And I can see you through to the other side. You just have to give me your trust. Place your faith in me, and that fear will be replaced with peace." Life is going to be full of challenges and full of changes and things that we don't quite understand. Some parts of it are going to be easy to get through, others aren't. We're going to have storms. We're going to have situations where changes happen whether we like them or not. And we're going to have a choice to make. Are we going to give in to the fear? Are we going to let that fear of the unknown control us? And we're going to let that change happen and let us become bitter and angry and resentful? Or are we going to say, "I don't understand, but God, here you go. I'm trusting in you to walk me through this. And I'm trusting in you to fill me with your peace. So lead me through it." That's the choice we have to make. Give in to our fear or give it over to Christ. You pray with me.